The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the ShopTates.com studios.
It's good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us, Brad Sesmatt, Sports360AZ.com, AZCentralSports.com, on White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter, at Brad Sesmatt. Busy day in front of us. Of course, it is NFL Free Agent Day, the start of the league calendar in the National Football League, so there's a lot of pro football stuff that's going on, a lot of news around the Arizona Cardinals and just around the NFL in general. We'll talk all things NFL with Clark Judge in about 15 minutes. NFL Insider, good friend of the show, all the free agency that is getting started today. Barry Bloom is going to be with us. Always good to catch up with one of the longtime Major League Baseball writers, MLB.com columnist. He was at Barry Bonds' press conference yesterday, has a different perspective on Barry. Is Archie Bradley the next Kerry Wood, the next Dwight Gooden? You start seeing those names around Archie Bradley and the Diamondbacks, and it's a lot of hype. It's a lot to get excited about, but how much of it is really true? The Diamondbacks prospect generating a lot of buzz. We'll talk with Barry Bloom. Talk to the Lopes, as we do every Tuesday. This week in the hot seats, GCU President, CEO Brian Mueller on year one for Dan Marley, on scheduling, on the programs at GCU. We'll have the Talk to the Lopes segment, as we do every week, with Brian Mueller. Eric and I are headed to Las Vegas tomorrow, and we'll be doing the shows Thursday and Friday from the MGM Grand, thanks to Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it's all about you. And Diamond Resorts. Appreciate Diamond Resorts jumping on board as part of what we do at Sports 360 AZ. Eric is back in the hot seat today, fully recovered. Got through The Bachelor last night, his favorite television show.
It's a lie. I did not get through it.
Did you fall asleep?
No, but my future bride did.
That show is just dreadful.
Yeah, it's
and everybody's talking about it today, like this Juan Pablo loser.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. I don't even know who won, so don't say
but
anything.
You really did like that show one time.
Oh, we watched. Yeah, I watched it. I watched it all the
time. Do you think that show is what caused the two of you to come closer together to the point where you're getting married in July?
Yeah, because we were both watching it before we were in our relationship together.
No, but that tells me that you guys had synergy. You watch The Bachelor?
I do.
Why, yes, I watch The Bachelor. Yep. Well, gee, there might be something there between the two of us.
The season's been really horrible, though.
Of course, if I'm sitting there with you guys over dinner, I would say, are you guys nuts? You watch that slop? My man card got revoked last night because I was sitting on the couch watching Suns Clippers and some college basketball, and she came along. And she decided to say, oh, let's just watch The Bachelor for a little bit. It's the season finale.
It is.
Thank God it's the season finale, because I'm watching this dope Juan Pablo and these dumb girls like all over this loser thinking, who is this guy?
Yeah. I don't know. To each their own. We can't watch sports all the time. Everyone has a guilty pleasure. Mine just happens to be bad reality television.
Whoa. God, that's just dreadful. So
here's today's Facebook question.
Yeah, is it about Juan Pablo?
Smooth, seamless transition.
Is it about Juan Pablo?
No, NFL free agency, of course.
Of course.
1 o'clock today, as you mentioned. Cardinals, 10 wins last year, Brad. 10 wins, 5-game improvement. So today we ask you, drum roll. No, we don't have drum roll.
No.
Is it more important this year?
For Steve Keim and Bruce Arians to add?
For Steve Keim and Bruce Arians to have? Okay, stop that. That's really annoying. To add difference makers in free agency or the draft?
Difference makers in free agency or the draft?
Facebook.com/Sports360AZ. So this is more of a short-term than a long-term question, because the Cardinals are in the toughest division. It's not going to get any easier, but they did win 10 games last year. They improved drastically over the second half of the season. For me, I would say the draft, because last year they got a lot of difference makers in the draft.
Well, in this day and age of salary, this is a pretty easy question. In this day and age of free agency, you go to today is we made a mistake here.
Correct.
Or we overpaid there.
Everybody does.
And so we've got to subtract guys here because we missed in the draft on guys. And so last year they had to go out and find Carson Palmer. Yes, in the offseason, because they missed on so many quarterbacks for so many years. This year, because Rashard Mendenhall retired, maybe they have to look for some money to be put into a running back. Because they've missed on so many offensive linemen through the years, they're going to have to throw money into a left tackle this year. They have to at some point, because they didn't draft for so many years. This is a day where, for the most part, I think you look at it and say, we screwed up at wide receiver. By example, Andre Roberts is leaving the Cardinals. He has agreed to a deal to go to the Washington Redskins. Thus, the Cardinals are now in a spot where, if you think of early Doucette and Andre Roberts, those were a couple of guys at wide receiver that I would say they missed on, especially early Doucette. Now it comes back on you to, we've got to get a slot receiver, and there's some slot receivers out there, but we've got to throw money into those guys because we did not develop the receivers the way that we thought. At tight end, they're going to have to throw some money into tight end, I think. So today's a day of fixing mistakes and throwing good money into bad debt, I would like to say sometimes. Go over to facebook.com/sports360az. We'll talk more about NFL free agency here and also with Clark Judge in a few minutes. What's going on in the world of sports now, brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino in the beautiful White Mountains. Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top. You know March Madness is getting in full swing. The brackets come out this Sunday. At the Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top, they've got March Madness as well. Stop on in or go to Honda Casino and check in all the information. Click on our homepage at Sports360AZ and go over to the Honda Resort and Casino site. Click on there and it'll take you to all the information you need on March Madness. That's at the Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. More now on free agency. Here is Bruce Arians to the NFL Network. He was asked, what are your biggest needs heading into free agency starting today?
Well, in our division, I think both lines of scrimmage have to be outstanding. We got to get a little stronger, a little more physical to play with our division and just get depth in both lines of scrimmage and then add team speed everywhere. I mean, speed is something that I always have relished and will always be looking for speed.
So when you look at where the Cardinals are in the Kyme Arians era, so they did not have the size or speed to compete with the Seattle Seahawks. Yeah, they beat them in the regular season, but if it came down to a playoff game, I still think Seattle wins. San Francisco, the same boat. You've got to get bigger, rangier in your secondary. The Cardinals, I think its safety are very thin. You don't know about Tyrann Mathieu's health, so do you have to look that direction? If Carlos Dansby signs today with the Cleveland Browns, look, he's going to Cleveland. He's not going to win a title at Cleveland, but he's going to get paid. They're going to back the truck up to him to go to Cleveland. A team like the Raiders is sitting there with over $60 million in cap space that they've got to use up. They may come after a veteran linebacker, and if you're Carlos Dansby, yeah, I'm going to go make more money over there. Jason LaConfora, NFL insider, on our show earlier, believes that the Cardinals are in good hands with Steve Kime calling the shots.
I'm a big Steve Kime fan. I am. I thought he was balling on a budget last year. He didn't have a whole lot of means to do a lot of things. And he actually had to sort of cut the fat in a lot of areas, and they came out of it a better team on the field and positioned better moving forward cap-wise and what have you.
So, you know, balling on a budget, that's a great way to put it. But there are a lot of needs on this Cardinals team that if you don't pay attention and if you miss in free agency, you're going to find yourself being lapped by not just the Seahawks and the 49ers, but also the St. Louis Rams with all this young talent that's coming up. It's a crucial couple of months for the Cardinals. I'm bullish on that they almost made the postseason, but I also look at their roster and I also look at the way they won some of those games. It could have been either way. They could have gone from 10 wins down to about 6 or 7 very easily off of one bounce of the football. This is not a juggernaut. Rashard Mendenhall retires. I hope Ryan Williams is ready to go this coming season. It's time for Ryan Williams to ball. Andre Ellington looked terrific last year. But up and down starting today, if you're a Cardinals fan or whatever NFL team you're looking at, this is a day of mistakes being cleared up, cleaned up, and try to move forward. And then it comes to the draft. You don't want to see teams throw a lot of money into guys and they make mistakes. That's the main deal today. So the Cardinals have re-signed Frosty Rucker the way that it sounds. Jay Feely has said that he has agreed to a one-year deal to stay with the Cardinals. There was, I think, some people questioning Jay Feely after the way the regular season ended. I think he's going to be pushed here in training camp, but I'm happy having Jay Feely back. I'm fine with that. All in all, it's going to be a busy period for the Cardinals. There's no other way to put it. We'll talk more about the NFL free agency in a couple of minutes with Clark Judge. Over to the Suns game last night. So I called this yesterday. I didn't think that they were going to play well at all last night, and they didn't play very well until the final few minutes. I think what happened is the team finally woke up because early in the game, Blake Griffin was just absolutely destroying the Suns last night.
Darren had 11 points in that first half. Gets it back to Blake on the wing. Rises for the 19-footer. Oh, it is good again. Oh, my goodness. Something special is happening tonight. Blake Griffin, 14 of 15 from the floor. 35 points. Folks, this is what you call the zone.
Yeah, and it finally was P.J. Tucker, because the game was chippy. Did you didn't see any of the game, did you, Eric, or did you see a little bit of it?
I saw parts of it. I didn't see all of it, but I did see the scrum.
Yeah, it was chippy, and it looked to me like when Blake Griffin and P.J. Tucker got tangled together. Blake Griffin, by the way, whines more than I do sometimes about reality television. I mean, last night, I don't know how many times it was like, me? Yeah, you dope. I get so tired of guys looking like, I've never done a foul, I've never done anything. So he gets in a scrum with P.J. Tucker. Tucker gets thrown out of the game. Star treatment, in my opinion. Here's Blake Griffin on what happened.
Just got pulled to the ground, and I guess he didn't like that. So I don't know. I haven't really seen it. I haven't really looked at it. It's hard to tell, you know, while it's happening.
Yeah. Meaning I'm going to get off, and P.J. Tucker's probably going to miss a game. That's the way that that goes. And the Suns are going to get Eric Bledsoe back tomorrow night in all likelihood against Cleveland. Here is Jeff Hornacek on getting Bledsoe back tomorrow night.
Maybe the life of the kick that Eric will come back. Maybe they're trying to skate through things because they're a little tired, a little worn out. Maybe Eric will give some life to us.
There you go on that front. All right, on the other side, Clark Judge, all things NFL. Clark Judge joins us next to talk about what's going on around the National Football League, 30 years plus. Clark also very much tied in with the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Maybe a couple questions over on that side as well. But today, the start of free agency, Clark Judge. After this timeout, I'm Brad Sismat.
For original, in-depth Arizona sports news you care about, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.
Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central. Great to be partnered with the Arizona Republic, White Mountain Radio across the great state of Arizona, and on Twitter at Brad Sismat. Thanks for being with us. Thursday, Friday, we'll be doing the shows from the MGM Grand as part of the Pac-12 tournament. Our coverage around ASU and U of A brought to you by Santan Ford and the Arizona Ford dealers. Santan Ford, where it's all about you, and Diamond Resorts International. Appreciate their partnership, and also Mesa Gateway Airport. Everybody jumping on board now that it's March Madness. But today, the storyline is the NFL free agency period. Get started today, not just the Arizona Cardinals, but across the National Football League. Here's Clark Judge, all things NFL, 30 years plus. Good friend of the show to jump on in for a couple of minutes. When you're the Raiders and you have $60 million in cap space, I maintain that free agency is actually the day that you pay for all your mistakes and all your sins in the NFL draft. Is that the case from your view?
Yeah, I do think that's the case. This is the NFL's version of March Madness, Brad. And with the Raiders' case, you hope it's more sanity than madness. They've got a lot of cap room. That doesn't mean you have to spend the money, but you're going to spend a large part of it, and you spend it wisely. I would suggest they start rebuilding this team through the draft, but you can start filling in through free agency. You know, you look at quarterbacks out there. They need a quarterback. I wouldn't take any of these guys in free agency. I just wouldn't. You're not going to win with Josh McCown or Michael Vick or any of those guys. So I would start looking elsewhere and filling in there and maybe trying to keep some of your own guys. I mean, Velder's a guy whose name comes up all the time with the Cardinals. But, you know, I'd do what I could to try to keep someone like him.
I think the problem with the Raiders is if you go and bring in Michael Vick, or you go bring in any of these free agent guys that are out there and they get run over, where are you at and you're not developing anybody? If you go draft a quarterback with your high pick, you still don't have enough talent to keep that quarterback upright. He's going to get run over. The Raiders, the Cowboys, they're like two organizations that can't seem to get it right, and their fans are frustrated. But this is a crucial period for both of those organizations because they're both running in circles, it feels like, Clark.
Yeah, no, that's true. They both are. But big difference here, Brad. One, the Raiders have the cap room that the Cowboys don't. The Cowboys are digging themselves out of cap jail and seem to have finally gotten close to it, but they have very little room to do anything. Secondly, the Raiders have a GM, the Cowboys don't. I mean, Jerry Jones is the GM of the Cowboys, and that's one reason he won one playoff game in the last 17 years. He's not a good personnel guy. He's a marketing genius. He's not a great personnel guy. I think the Raiders have a chance. Reggie McKenzie, well, let's see. I mean, honestly, the last couple years, I think you gave him a break. You cut him some slack because of what they had to dig out from. They had to get rid of a lot of these bad contracts for older players. They were top heavy with guaranteed money. They got out from under that. Now you look at it, and they got tons of money to spend. But do they spend it on the right guys? That's why I'm watching them very carefully. I'd like to see what they do because, honestly, Brad, the Raiders have become a team you might want to go to because I do think there's a future there. I think there's a future because they've got some key people and right people in the right position. So I'm really curious to see how they spend this money, if they spend it wisely or if they do like the Washington Redskins and throw it after good money after bad people.
We're talking about Clark Judge, All Things NFL, for a couple of minutes with Brad Sussmat. Andre Roberts leaving the Cardinals, going to Washington to be a slot receiver. I haven't seen the dollar figure yet. So Arizona's looking for a slot receiver out here. Carlos Dansbeef with the Cardinals. Sounds like he's looking at Cleveland. Sounds like he's looking at Tennessee. My understanding is both those organizations should throw crazy money at players. I don't begrudge, Clark. Do you begrudge guys that chase money late in their career to go to organizations that they know they have no shot at winning a Super Bowl? Or do you think, why would he go there? Why would he not go be that guy that's trying to be with Denver or New England? Where are you at on that?
By and large, I don't, Brad, by and large. But there are exceptions. Last year, Ed Reed was the exception. I looked at what Ed Reed was taking from Houston. I said, listen, I don't know if it's less money. Take the offer from Baltimore and make the legacy complete. Retire as a Raven and be a hero. You go out, carry it off in a parade, and people love you as a guy who started the Ravens, finished his career with the Ravens. He didn't do that, and you see what happened. His career is spiraling downward. He becomes Willie Mays with the New York Mets. That's what I don't like to see happen. But guys who chase big money late in their career, no, why not? I mean, it's free agency. You can do what you want. I mean, I can go anywhere I want to work. So can you. These guys can, too. So why can't they do that? But I think you have to measure everything because there's some guys who say, oh, the ring is everything. Well, if the ring is everything, then you better weigh that in comparison to what you're getting. If you're getting comparable money from the team that go to the Super Bowl, I suggest you start thinking about that carefully. If you're going to the Cleveland Browns and taking a lot of money and know you're not going anywhere, well, okay, then you know what you're getting into. You go in with your eyes wide open, and 2 years now from now, you're cut, and you made some money, but you made it with a last-place team.
Let me throw a couple teams and a couple players before I let you go. So the Miami Dolphins went through everything with the Incognito Martin situation. They've turned that franchise, I believe, upside down, but they have some pieces heading in the right direction. Does Miami
maybe have to?
Does Miami have to oversell in free agency to make the fan base look at their situation, say, we actually do know what we're doing, meaning this is a right place for agents to go to and say, hey, let's get you to Miami. They're going to throw crazy money at you to get you down here.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're right on target with that. I think you're absolutely right. Miami has to basically win the trust back of its fans. You looked at that Wells report. This is a club that had no direction, and it looked like it was a club that was run by the inmates. The inmates are running the asylum. So, and now they've got to tell the fans essentially that, listen, we're going to do whatever we can to win your trust back. We're going to show you that we know how to put a football team together. And I don't know that they do, Brad, but that's what they've got to do. And I think what they're going to try to do is remake, and I mean totally remake, that offensive line to get rid of any vestige of the stench left over from the Incognito mess.
And then you look at Washington, and we mentioned Andre Roberts. Do they overspend to give their quarterback, who they've invested so much in, more weapons and necessarily not look at the defensive side of the football, where I think they still need help?
Yeah, they do need. I mean, that's where they need the most help. You look at their defense last year. It was embarrassingly bad. And that's where they do need the help. But I don't think that's necessarily the case. I think they overspend on the wrong players because that's who they are. They're the Washington Redskins. I mean, honestly, when you think of some of the worst free agent moves in history, you can say almost any move that Daniel Snyder makes in free agency. I mean, you go back to Haynesworth. You go back to Deion Sanders' contract, which was terrible. The Jeff George, Adam Archuleta. You go right down the list, and there are numbers of players that they brought in just didn't work out. They were terrible contracts and top-heavy contracts. So I think they're doing right now the right thing only because Pierre Garçon is their only lead receiver. Santana Moss is basically done. I mean, you've got Pierre Garçon, and then who? You need to give this guy some weapons, but you're absolutely right. You better pay attention to the other side of the ball. One problem, who's your first-round draft? It's a second-rounder because you gave away the store for RG3. You know what you're getting. You got a good quarterback, but you also gave away the future, and they're paying for it right now. So they're looking at a situation where they're not going to get as much help in the draft as maybe they might, but they've got to load up in free agency again. And again, what I say about the Washington Redskins, what do we know about them? That's where they're at their worst in free agency. They overspend for players who don't deserve the money.
Should you have the buyer beware tag around any player the Pittsburgh Steelers jettison in free agency?
Yeah.
Because The Steelers know full well when it's time. It doesn't matter who it is. This year it's Lamar Woodley. Doesn't matter who it is. It could be James Harrison. It doesn't matter. They know when to get out of contracts, and they're not going to bend. So when you take a Steeler player on board, they're usually done.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, I think you're right on the money with that, and I've said that in the past. I think Baltimore is another team I'd be wary of when Baltimore cuts a guy loose. Now, every so often, you know, there are aberrations. People say, look what they gave up on Anquan Boldin. Well, they really had to. They're trying to make some cap room
right
for other players that they brought on. That was a bad move, but that was a trade. It wasn't a guy they were going to give up on him, but they got the best they could. But generally, when the Ravens give up somebody, he doesn't really go on to much. When the Steelers give up on somebody, he almost never goes on to anything. And people are telling me about what a mistake it was for Santonio Holmes to leave Pittsburgh. Tell me that today. I mean, I'm here in New York, and I watched the Jets. Santonio Holmes was a mess in that locker room. He was okay on the field for 1 or 2 years. A mess in that locker room, a divisive guy. Now he's been released. So in answer to your question, yeah, the Steelers know their team. There's certain ball clubs that know their players.
Right.
Pittsburgh's one of them. Baltimore is another one. There's a selective a group of others, but those are two at the top.
Let me throw a couple names in. Michael Vick, what is a natural landing spot in your mind for Michael Vick?
I don't know. I think, honestly, any place where he's going to be a backup, but I hear the Raiders' name. I hope that's not the case because, Brad, if you're taking on Michael Vick, you're taking on a descending player. He's 34 years old. He just doesn't complete seasons because he gets hurt. Neither one of those is my primary concern. This is turnovers. This guy can't stop making them. So if you're going to take him on as a potential starter, and remember Adrian Peterson said, oh, bring him in here. Well, Adrian Peterson's a great running back, and he's not a great GM. So don't bring him in there if you want to win because he's going to turn the ball over.
I like that. Eric Decker. So you look at Denver, and you look at what Peyton Manning has to work with. And here's Eric Decker that's sitting out there that was terrific for them. They have other weapons. Is this just a case of you got to let talent go even though you don't want to? And you also have Peyton Manning you have to keep happy.
Yeah, that's right. You've got talent you're going to have to let go. I mean, they've got Eric Decker. They've got Sean Moreno. I mean, they're going to have to let some people go here because they've invested so much money in that quarterback position. That's what happens when you've got franchise quarterbacks. The good news is you've got yourself one of the best, Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady. Bad news is that you invest so much money in that position, there's not that much left for the others. And that's why you look at the Colin Kaepernick situation in San Francisco. It's ideal because they can start loading up around him. He's not making much money. Same thing with Russell Wilson, not making much money for this contract. Once they get a new contract, different story, you have to start letting people go. Decker's going to be gone, I'm pretty sure. Well, I tell you what, the irony of ironies would be, and I don't foresee this happening, but it could if he were to land in New England. So New England makes the trade, essentially, Welker 1 year for Decker the next. I think that would be intriguing. I'd like to see it happen. As I said, I think he's going to command top dollar. The Patriots generally don't spend top dollar in free agency. That's why I don't think it will.
The other thing, too, is today on free agency, it's a lot of fun for fans to see who's going where and how much money is being spent. That's what I look at is what's the dollar figure. So you take a guy like Ben Roethlisberger who's making $12 million. Colin Kaepernick, the number that's already floating around, is he's going to command upwards of $25 million when it's time for his deal to be done. I think a guy like Roethlisberger, Clark, he's sitting over there on the sidelines. At some point, I don't know if it's going to end well in Pittsburgh with his contract.
Well, it will because they'll take care of him. The Steelers will do the right thing. They will. That's just the way they operate. You talk about the guys they let loose. They keep the people who are prized and valued by the organization. He's prized and valued. They had a chance to get rid of him several years ago because of the off-the-field situations, but they didn't. They got rid of Santonio Holmes because of the situations, got rid of Ben Roethlisberger, and I heard somebody say, well, you know, they're using a double standard. Yeah, they are. A wide receiver versus a quarterback. You're going to keep the quarterback. They value this guy, and for good reason. He's a franchise quarterback and a guy who's been to the Super Bowl 3 times. But that said, when you invest that kind of money in him, again, as I said, you've got to be careful what you get around him. With Kaepernick, I mean, I don't see him getting that kind of money, Brad. I'll be honest with you. And he's talking about even $18 million this year if you were to do it this year. And he doesn't. They don't have to do a thing. They can wait till this contract expires.
Right.
But what's he done? He's been successful. But what has he done in the two biggest games of his career? He's come close, but he's missed the same receiver in the same corner of the end zone both times. I don't know if you say you're going to pay on the expectation that he could be as good as he was at times last year. And I'm talking about 2012, not 2013. Because in 2013, to me, had many more hiccups, and there were some cautionary flags there. I'm not so sure I want to invest the money in this guy because there might be better people out there at lower cost. There might be. Now, certainly a talented guy, but for him to take upwards of $25 million, you're going to pay him more than you can pay Brady or Manning or Brees? Not me. I'm not doing it.
Before I let you go, team or player you're most interested to see what happens with today?
player.
Either one, team or a player.
Probably two players, Eugene Monroe and Baltimore. They have to keep him. I think they have to keep him. That's why I want to see what they do. If they let him go, I'd go, oh, boy, what are you going to do for your left tackle? You have to protect your investment. Your investment's your quarterback. Team, it might be the Oakland Raiders because they have so much room. And Cleveland's another one. I want to see what Cleveland does. Again, because it's a new administration. And, you know, with a new administration, where are they going to take this team? The old administrations have taken them down the same path. It's been a losing path. I know some of the guys involved here. I think they know what they're doing. I want to find out if they do. I want to see if they spend wisely, if they spend it all, who they bring in there. So those are a couple teams. And as I said, Bird's an interesting guy because he wants top dollar. I'm not sure he's going to get it because of the position he plays.
Let you go off that. Appreciate your time as always. Thanks.
Thanks, Brad.
Clark Judge, all things NFL, 30 years plus around the National Football League, free agency starting today. Good stuff there. On the other side, Barry Bloom, MLB.com, veteran reporter, columnist. He was with Barry Bonds yesterday when Bonds came back. I wanted to have him take me around the Cactus League a little bit. And also, he's got a different feel on Bonds. They're pretty close. We'll talk to Barry Bloom about that later. Talk to the Lopes, Brian Mueller, the president and CEO of Grand Canyon University, as we every week have Talk to the Lopes right here. Sports360AZ.com. AZ Central Sports. Appreciate the partnership with the Arizona Republic. White Mountain Radio and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat.
React and interact to our Facebook question of the day. Like our page at facebook.com/sports360AZ.
It's Good Tuesday, Brad Sussmat with you, sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat. For our White Mountain Radio listeners, try to put together coming up in a couple weeks to get together and do a lunch, do something fun. So keep out an eye out on that. I'll give you the more details. Putting something together when I feel like it's time to head up to the White Mountains and have some fun for a day or two. And have lunch in the White Mountain area. And we'll give you some more details. Just know that that is coming for our good friends at White Mountain Radio. This segment brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Yesterday afternoon, my phone rings. I see it's Tim Hovick calling. It's always an adventure when Tim calls. Always good to talk to Tim. Big sports fan. Hey, got to tell you, he says, I was in the Bruce Arians golf tournament. I was with Eric Dickerson. It was terrific. I'll have to tell you about it over dinner in Las Vegas. I'll see you up there. So we'll be in Las Vegas tomorrow night, Eric and I, having dinner with Tim Hovick, the good people at Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it's all about you. Of course, I drive the Ford Fusion from Santan Ford. Good people there. Santan Ford, the next time you make a decision on the vehicle, the car or the truck, stop on in at the 202 and Val Vista, the Santan 202 in Val Vista. That's Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Thursday and Friday, we'll be doing the show from the MGM Grand as the Pac-12 tournament following U of A and ASU. And then next week, we'll be on the road with both ASU and U of A. Wherever they go, we will take the show on the road. On AZ Central, appreciate the partnership with the Arizona Republic. And, of course, sports360az.com, plenty of content there. And White Mountain Radio and on Twitter, at Brad Sussmat. Barry Bloom joins us. Good to catch up with Barry, MLB.com reporter, columnist. Saw a picture of Barry yesterday with Barry Bonds and said, you know, I've not talked to Barry in a while. I'm kind of curious about how Barry Bonds came across yesterday. He looked much thinner. Is Barry Bonds a Hall of Famer? Everybody talking about that. Here is Barry Bloom. How are you?
Good. How are you, Brad?
Always good to hear your voice, Barry. I'm doing great, doing terrific. And you?
Excellent.
Good to hear. Good to hear. Barry Bonds yesterday. Had you seen, when was the last time you saw him before yesterday?
About a year ago at a function up in San Francisco. So he looked pretty much the same as I saw him the last time. You know, he stopped doing a lot of weight training, and he's not as bulky as he used to be. He's maybe lost 20 pounds. But he looks good, healthy. Face looks good. You know, he's still working out. He likes doing a lot of cardio training and biking. So, you know, he hasn't gone the way of a lot of former athletes like his former teammate Bobby Bonilla, who really puffed up after leaving the game.
Where are you at with Barry Bonds on this whole Hall of Fame, good guy, bad guy, all this stuff with Barry Bonds, Barry?
Well, as I've said, you know, consistently over the course of the last couple of years in the blogs that I always write about my Hall of Fame votes, you know, I'm not adjudicating this thing for Major League Baseball. You know, I have no idea who did what. There's some people that we have suspicions about. Some people have admitted it. Some people we just don't know. There are all kinds of different performance-enhancing drugs that can do a lot of different things. So my feeling is that it was an era where it wasn't illegal in Major League Baseball, and a lot of people had the opportunity to do it or not to do it. So I think you either vote for everybody or you don't vote for anybody. And I voted for Bonds and Clemens, last year Bagwell, a lot of guys who I think have the numbers and in the era they played deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. They, you know, had to face, Bonds had to face pitchers too who were doing it.
When you are with your cohorts, when you're with your baseball brethren on the media side, do you have spirited or heated debates on this one?
Oh, it's very spirited debates because, you know, everybody has their own opinion on this and their own place that they come to. And, you know, there are a number of my colleagues who feel that, you know, they're the guardians of the gates for the ethical entrance of players into the Hall of Fame, whether they believe or have any firm knowledge that somebody was doing something or not. So, yeah, there's a lot of discussions about this, especially every December when we get the ballots in the mail and we're discussing either what we're going to do or what we've done.
Are there fractured relationships with people that you've worked side by side on over this one topic?
No. People, this is the United States of America. I have Republican friends. I have people who, a colleague of mine, Ken Gernick, who made a big splash about this, says he won't vote for anybody. He didn't even vote for Tony Gwynn or Cal Ripken because they played during that era. We're all good friends, and we can all talk about this stuff. It's a, it's pretty much done with a general camaraderie.
Where do you think Bonds ends up on this? Does he get in or does he not?
Well, I think it would have to be a major sea change or a change in the way we vote for the Hall of Fame for Bonds to get in. You know, either to broaden the group outside the baseball writers, which could ultimately happen under a new commissioner, or, a younger group of baseball writers takes over for the ones that are in, who take a hard line on this. But I think if the voting stays the same at 34.7%, it's a long way for Bonds to go to get in, even over the course of 15 years.
Barry Bloom with us, MLB.com reporter columnist for a couple of minutes with Brad Sussmat. A couple other questions, and I'll let you go. Around the Cactus League, over at the Diamondbacks end of things, I am of the opinion that while they gave Kevin and gave Gibby an extension, I had on this show 2 weeks ago, Ken Kendrick, and he was very straightforward in saying, now I get a chance to be a fan. I've given them the extension. I'm paraphrasing here, Barry. If it doesn't work out, it's on me to figure out what to do. I still believe the gun is on the two of them to start out this season. Do you?
I don't think it's so much on KT as it is on Gibby. I think there's some adjusting, really, that he has to do. And I think there are two things, you know, one, structurally, that I'm very interested in seeing. And that's how, under the new pitching setup, with Dave Duncan, Mike Harkey running the pitching staff, Duncan running it globally, and Harkey on the big team, how much of a change that you're going to have in the way the pitchers help you figure out work and how they develop, what's going to happen with them over the course of time. And how Gibson also accepts this and works with it and cedes his authority over to the pitchers to do the right thing, because I think everybody would come to agree that one of Gibson's weakest attributes as a manager is how he works with pitchers. He doesn't really have a good touch with pitchers, when to get a starter in or a lever in. You know, there really is no real pattern with this.
Mm-hmm.
And he's learning. You know, it takes a while, as KT says. So I think he's probably more on the seat than KT is. And then on an individual basis, I'm watching Archie Bradley, and he's the best arm the Diamondbacks have in camp. I mean, there's just nobody even close. Now, does that translate on a regular basis when he gets to the major leagues? I'm not sure, but I want to find a way to have this guy in the starting rotation when the season starts. It has no purpose at all to send him back to Double-A.
Yep.
He's been there, done that. And to go to Triple-A and get wrecked around in the high altitudes of the Pacific Coast League is probably worthless. So I want to see how they do this. Maybe Bronson Arroyo isn't ready, so Bradley makes the staff anyway, or they have to clear out another pitcher in a trade. But to me, Bradley's got to be there. And from day one, they've got to put the best team on the field so that they have the best chance to win. There's no more, with the playoff system and the wild cards, there's no more a game in April is not as important as a game in September. All these games are meaningful, and the Diamondbacks need to play a complete six-month season if they want to make the playoffs.
One last question, quick thought. I got about 45 seconds. Archie Bradley, I'm hearing Dwight Gooden and Kerry Wood in the same breath. Do you hear that? Do you see that?
No, more Clemens, if I had to make the comparison. Because as a young pitcher, Clemens came out of college with probably a little bit more experience than Bradley. I mean, Bradley is only a couple of years removed from pitching in high school.
Right.
He's 21 years old. I don't see Gooden in him. Gooden was an extraordinary, talent who could just throw the ball with, absolute abandon at that age. So he's the right-handed Kershaw or Clemens. But what I love about him is his demeanor. He's the greatest kid in the world.
Yes.
And I just don't think he's fazed by anything. And when I watched him against the Rockies go down the first four guys in the lineup, including Cargo and Tulowitzki in his first inning or two, that told me all I needed to know. That's the best lineup he'd ever faced, and it was unfazed for him. So I think he has a chance to be terrific.
Best to you. Stay well. I'll see you down the road. Thanks, Barry.
Thanks for having me on, Brad. You stay well, too.
Thanks. Barry Bloom, MLB.com reporter, columnist. Always good to catch up with Barry, one of the great minds of Major League Baseball, covering it day in and day out. On the other side, talk to the Lopes, GCU president and CEO Brian Mueller. What's his view been of Dan Marley in season number one? Growing the athletic department on campus and much more. Talk to the Lopes is next. I'm Brad Sussmat.
We're on your mobile phone and tablet at sports360az.com.
Talk to the Lopes every week. Brad Sussmat with you, Sports 360 AZ on AZ Central. Good to be in a partnership with the Arizona Republic, White Mountain Radio across the great state of Arizona, and of course on Twitter at Brad Sussmat. This week on Talk to the Lopes, as we do every week, parts and pieces of Grand Canyon University. We go to the top this week, President and CEO Brian Mueller into the hot seat after his school was featured yesterday in USA Today. Big picture of Dan Marley. A lot of attention around what's going on at GCU, around the basketball program, but there's other sports I want to get to him as well. How's your basketball season been, Mr. Mueller?
We couldn't have asked for any more. I mean, from our athletic director down through our coaching staffs and of course, our student athletes, it has been tremendous. The women won 20 basketball games in their first year of Division I competition without being eligible for the NCAA tournament. They still might get into the NIT tournament. They were fantastic. They finished third in the conference, competed well all year. It was just a tremendous year. And then Coach Marley coming in late, not having a chance to do, did little if no recruiting, basically came back with a Division II squad. Were picked to finish ninth in the conference, and in fact, they finished third. And into the last 2 weeks, they were in the running for a conference championship, and they finished above 500, and they're going to be probably selected to one of two postseason tournaments that they're eligible for. That's not we're not for sure about that yet, but outstanding job, both from the coaching staff and from the student athletes. We had every single game was sold out. The atmosphere was tremendous. The community and the student body is really behind this, and so it was an incredible year.
Talk to the Lopes, Brian Mueller, President CEO with Brad Sussmat for a couple of minutes. All right, so when I'm at your games and I watch Dan coach this year and then I'd see you, you have said to me all along to get this building full. This year it clicked. You cut a television deal with Cox that had lots of ancillary programming around it. It had the feel of a big-time program. Is it where you want it to be? I know that you're already starting expansion on the facility that they're in, but is it where you want the program to be top to bottom, Brian?
I would say it's ahead. I would say to Trent May and his coaching staff and to Dan Marley and his coaching staff, I think we're ahead of where we expected to be at this point. The fact that we competed as well as we competed throughout the entire year, and with what they've done already, they've got 5 kids signed, and they've got additional kids that they are anticipating signing with. So in terms of their performance and then how recruiting is going and how it's setting up for next year, I would say we're ahead of where most people thought we would be and where I thought we would be. We have begun reconstruction on the arena. It's going to seat approximately 7,200 without adding any cubic airspace in there. We're adding a second deck around three-quarters of the arena and then adding 3 decks in the end zone. And so it will be, I think, as intimate an environment that you can, as you can possibly create for 7,000 people. And so we're anticipating being able to sell that out next year. And so, yes. Mr. Colangelo's helped tremendously from a scheduling standpoint. We're going to play Kentucky in Rupp Arena next year, and there's some other big announcements that might be made in terms of the away schedule. The home schedule is phenomenal. We're going to have 20 home games next year, which is very difficult to do as a university that's in its second year of transition. Harvard's going to play here. University of New Mexico is going to play here. Boston University is going to play here. So next year is I would say, as we begin, is going to be ahead of where almost anybody thought we could possibly be.
And one of those schools on the road schedule is Indiana. I know the contract's not signed yet. It's been out there, though, so I think it's comfortable for me to at least bring up that Indiana University on the road for a one-game deal next year is out there as well. When I watched Dan coach this year, it's the little things that I liked and just the antidotes that I had heard. By example, last week you play at New Mexico State, toughest place, I think, within the WAC to go play. You get beat pretty good there, but you have travel issues. You have to stay in Houston. You have every reason to finish the regular season by getting drilled, and yet you win in overtime on the road in the middle of nowhere in Texas. Am I hitting a mark here about Dan keeping his team together and focused?
Absolutely. You know, when one of the things you worry about when you hire a leader in any high-profile position is that when they come with a reputation like Dan did of having been the ultimate competitor as an NBA player for 14 years and getting the absolute maximum out of his capabilities, that they won't hold the people they lead to that same level of expectation. And that is not, that's exactly the opposite. I mean, I don't know that there's a college basketball team in the country that worked harder and it was that had more demands placed on them than Dan placed on these guys. And they were a little intimidated, with his level of intensity and his expectation. But they hung together, and, you know, you could see the results. Killian Larson was, he was one of the best mid-major inside guys in the league, in the country this year. He had a phenomenal season. Jerome Garrison, who was not even recruited as a Division I player out of high school, became a big-time Division I player. And so his expectations, both in for the team and for individual players, and their ability to rise to that was fantastic. Yeah, we did get drilled at New Mexico State, but we had to come back. They came back 2 days later,
right,
and won a game on the road. And so he's a charismatic guy. He's a demanding guy. The athletes really like him. They really respond to him. And so he's going to be a star NCAA coach.
Brian, I think when he had the situation early in the year where he had to make some tough decisions and some guys had to go, it was really laying it down, okay, let's make this thing work. And I saw a change just in some of the players after that defining moment. I've got a couple other questions for you, and we'll let you go. Talk to the Lopes this week with Brian Mueller, President and CEO at Grand Canyon University, every week here on Sports 360, also AZ Central. Appreciate the partnership there. And on White Mountain Radio and on Twitter, @BradSusMatt. You mentioned the facilities and that you're upgrading the arena. If I were to ask you, what's that arena going to hold 5 years from now? Is this just one makeover, or do you see this being a permanent number?
I think it's going to be pretty much permanent. I think 7,000, 7,200 is a very good number. When you look out in the West, Gonzaga seats 6,000. And we've seen what they've done with their program, perennial top 20 program in the country every single year. If you look at throughout the West Coast Conference, for example, most arenas there average between 3,000 and 6,000, and they have attendance issues. So I think 7,000, the way these seats are situated, and creating a demand for tickets. Every game is a sellout. I think this is going to be as exciting an atmosphere to watch college basketball there as there is in the country.
Well, I thought it was pretty cool just from a dad's standpoint, having my daughter say, I've got to get down to the arena early because tickets are really hard to come by. And professors encouraging kids to go to games and things along those lines, you could really feel a buzz on the campus just from a dad point of view. Your baseball program and some of your other sports, with your opening of the facility over on the East Valley at Eastmark, are you considering having some of your sports housed over in the East Valley?
We're going to build a big facility out there that's going to seat 4,000 for athletic events and 5,000 plus for concerts. It's going to be a little bit different than our arena. It's going to be kind of a combination of a rec center and an arena, with the seating being retractable. But we're really going to focus on, there's going to be a huge number of club sports out there. Mm-hmm. So we're going to do club sports in a very big way. We're going to do intramural sports. We're going to do concerts. We'll have our large chapel services, where we get 3,500 to 4,000 kids attending. And then we might do some exhibition games out there. We might do an exhibition men's game out there. We might do an exhibition women's game out there.
Smart.
And there will be a baseball facility out there for club baseball, for club softball. And so, yeah, it'll be a big club atmosphere, but it will also, we'll do some things out there. And then, of course, we'll be busing kids from there over here for the big concerts and for the big games, and connect those students and these students together. It's one university, even though we have a second location.
Before I let you go, then, give me a sport or give me a player. We've talked a lot about basketball here. Maybe a sport, maybe a player. You're a guy that likes athletics through and through, that you've noticed. You said, this sport, I didn't know how it would do. I'm very pleased with fill-in-the-blank sport or this athlete who's come through our doors. The athlete part would probably be very, very hard to define, but maybe there is one person or one sport that you're very pleased with where they are.
Boy, there's so many.
They don't get enough attention. I had your sand volleyball coach on last week, and I thought it was terrific that you're playing U of A in sand volleyball. You've got a lot of stuff going on, is my point.
No, absolutely. I just, the baseball team just won 3 out of 4 from University of Nebraska-Omaha this last weekend. Our softball team is tremendous. They beat Oregon State over the weekend. Our wrestling team was 14-5 in dual matches. Our swimming team is going to be one of the best in the country. Our swimming coach can really recruit, and we need to get him a swimming facility. Tennis. Tennis is doing tremendous. They're competing at a very high level. Our men's golf team won a tournament this fall with 9 Division I teams in it. So it's really hard to narrow it down. But if I had to narrow it down to one, I'll tell you what, our girls softball team, they're playing at a very high level, and they're beating some very good schools.
I'll let you go off that. Appreciate your time as always. Thanks for coming on Talk to the Lopes.
Thank you, Brad.
Brian Mueller with us, GCU president and CEO. That is Talk to the Lopes every week, Grand Canyon University, gcu.edu. Appreciate the partnership with Grand Canyon University. So on this NFL free agent day, the Cardinals need a slot receiver. The Cardinals need help on the defensive line. I'll throw a name out at you, and it's not going to be a name that they pursue, but are there angles that Jared Allen, okay? Jared Allen, the Minnesota Vikings, part-time Valley resident, really good guy, veteran guy, still productive, 31 years of age. It's all about the dollars. That's just a name. I know on the defensive front, you can sit there and say, well, we have this. Just saying, if you're like Seattle, where you load up with defensive linemen, you can always find quality guys. There is a bit of a question mark across the defensive front in my mind. I think there's a question mark at tight end, obviously. I think there's a question mark at slot now that Andre Roberts is gone. At running back, you could say, well, Ryan Williams. You don't know about Ryan Williams. Andre Ellington's one injury away. So there's a lot going on free agency day today in Arizona. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter, @BradSusmat.